Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, Vladdy Daddy. Great to have you this morning. Great to be back in Salford. I'm not going to lie, man. Been out on the West Coast and doing shows from out there, but nothing like being home. Dave Hyde's with us this morning. And I said, Dave Hyde, it is a big night coming up in Salford. It's been a big couple of days. Panthers tried to close out Tampa Bay and the Heat. Tried to even the series with the Celtics, who put it on them in the last game. And the Finns, of course, the draft is over, and we'll talk about that. I see Inter Miami takes Messi on the road and gets the biggest crowds they've ever seen in their life, and he puts on a show, and the Marlins are awful. Good morning, Dave.
Morning, Joe. Welcome back. Good
Man,
to see you.
It is nice to be back. It is. And, God, we got so much stuff going on here. It's one thing about it, after being in Sacramento, they've got one sport, the Kings. They're done. There's not much to talk about except, are the Oakland A's coming to a AAA stadium or ballpark in Sacramento to play for a couple years? So outside of that, man, you kind of run out of stuff, except then they fly to the Bay Area sports out there. But, boy, we got it rolling right now. And the Panthers, where you'll be tonight.
I'll be out there tonight. Yeah, it's they should be able to close it out tonight. I mean, they lost game four. And, you know, I love Paul Maurice, his perspective. He's like, well, it's – you know, you come out, he's getting questions. Oh, what happened? What happened?
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, it's funny. The conversation outside the room is so different than inside the room, where we're up 3-1.
Right. They got a road win.
They got exactly what they needed. So
yeah.
Now they come home.
In great shape. And I'm with you. Boy, tonight's going to be great, though. I just wish, like everybody always says, does it seem like Panthers and Heat play at the same friggin' time on the same – I don't know how many times this has happened now, where they played 1 o'clock games one weekend, because I was out and watching both games at the same time, flipping back and forth. And tonight, both at home here in South Florida, Dade and Broward.
It should be illegal. We need some politician to sit up and stand for the people.
Not allowed. Right? That's right. Although, is the market a lot different?
Completely different. You know why? Because, I live in Miami. It takes me an hour and a half to get to the Panthers in rush hour. Not a lot of people are going to be doing that, right? And vice versa, you know, not a lot of people are going to be. Now you're not going with the traffic coming south, but completely different markets.
You know what though? Yeah, there's other places that if you're good, they'll travel. They don't care how far it is. They don't care how expensive the seats are.
Ultimately,
as long
that's
as the product's
it, isn't
good.
It, who's winning? And
right.
And I don't think we're going to have a spring like we did last year where both teams kept winning. The Heat are just too undermanned. They just, you know, they're running out of bodies. It's not just Jimmy and Rozier anymore, but Kevin Love and you know, they're just – I don't – Spo, he looks down the bench. He might put himself in at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah, he's looking and going, all right, Bam and Tyler and Jaime and Caleb, and you, what do you guys have left here? Was a great win, though. I got to tell you what they did in game two. And I don't want to live off one game in
no,
a best
do it,
of seven.
Do it, absolutely.
But shooting lights out from start to finish, just totally got Boston out of their game. And I think a little bit of a wake-up call for Boston as they came back and won by 20. But that was fun to watch, man, those guys playing that way.
But, Joe, everybody – and I read all the Boston papers. They'll never shoot like that again. They'll never do that again.
You might be right.
But listen, last year when they beat the Celtics – They shot over 50% on threes in three of their four wins. So it isn't like Boston should have been surprised that they came out with this idea. We're gonna, in fact, after the first quarter timeout, Spo is, well, we don't know how long we'll be shooting like this. You know, basically, he's saying Boston's going to adjust at some point, and we won't be able to. And Boston never adjusted.
No, and they got. I thought they got great looks in that game of threes. I mean, we did.
Yeah.
The Heat did. That made an extra pass. I thought Tyler Herro played one of the best games he's ever played because he got rid of the ball. He dished it to Bam underneath when he needed to on coming off screens, and it was just it was fun to watch. It was fun to watch, and then we came down and scoring 12 points in the first quarter giving up 40-something in the second quarter, and that was it on that game. So, hey, fresh start tonight. We'll see what happens in game four. And, yes, the Miami Dolphins. Oh, Dave, I came home, and when now Dolphins pick up projects. You couldn't help it, man. And you're not alone because I got a Friday morning in the studio in Sacramento, and it was flying in. We had a ton of text going, what are we doing with Chop Robinson, edge rusher, four sacks on the season? You're going, oh, okay, and did he 15 tackles? So, again, we get the raw talent. And by the way, I don't know if you saw it last night, the rookie show they had on. I actually stayed up to watch it because I knew we were going to be talking about Chop out doing his workouts out in Los Angeles with Latu, the other pass rusher, and they're working out together, showed their whole combine and their whole thing and running a 4.48 40, the second fastest time, and it was freakish good. And all that stuff's good, and Chris Greer made reference to, you know, a little bit of a project, and we've got to unlock some skill sets, things we can do, but he wants to be great. And so that was kind of a lot of negativity on the first pick on the radio Friday morning.
Well, I mean, look, of all the things I expected the Dolphins to get this draft was at least one star. Some guy, because they have holes. They got some guys
still got to play, Dave. You're not wrong. They have to play.
And looking back, what they did is they said, we're desperate for an edge rusher. Even if he's a third down guy, which is basically what he is. He can't play the run. You look at all the reports. I quoted Mike Smith in my column, a former Falcons coach, defensive coordinator around the league.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, everybody's out there to be quoted, but I thought he summed it up best where he said he's just not strong, and you look at him in the run game, he's getting shoved out of holes. I mean, he comes in fast, but he goes out fast too because he's just not strong. So you got a guy who first year – best case scenario is a third down pass rusher, and they need that. But first round pick, look, Jalen Phillips, you expect somebody like that in this role where he's going to play every down. He might not be great the first year because that's a tough position, but you expect a starter, and you got a role player, and it's not against Chop Robinson. And then you go to the second round, Joe, and it's the same thing where they got a guy who just
needs some work.
Like a project.
That's a big, long. You know, they talked about his length and his, you know, all those things about freakish 6'7" and 315 and can move. He's just raw and needs the work. And you're already talking about him replacing Teron in a year. And I'm from the school on this part. We got to win now, man. This thing about don't try to sell us like we're building for the future. Dolphin fans don't want to hear that. That thing started 3 or 4 years ago with that first batch of draft picks when – you got rid of your Tunsil, and you got all those picks. That kind of started that, and we shipped a really good safety out because he didn't want to be here. And we went, all right, we got a lot of picks. Let's hit some home runs, and they did a pretty good job on those picks. Don't get me wrong, that most of them. But here's the other part. So as crazy as that is about wondering about the first and second pick, then you start looking at the production of the rest of the draft, which, by the way, they end up getting a fourth-round pick and get the Tennessee running back, Jalen Wright, one of the fastest guys in the draft, 4.38 guy. So he adds to our track team, and 5'11", 210. They get him, put up big numbers, over 1,000 yards and a 7.5 yard per carry. And then you go Muhammad Kamara, Another guy, edge rusher, 13 sacks. Dave, that's what you expect. Patrick, you go through Taj Washington, another wide receiver, another guy with big numbers. So they had a couple receivers that they end up getting that put up some really, really good numbers. Malik Washington, the other guy they got. So they end up with a nice class of, a lot of picks. We'll see how good they are, but seven picks. But some guys actually had production that you go, okay, smaller wide receivers, two small wide receivers, but both put up nice yards in USC and as well as Virginia last year.
Yeah, it's weird to come out of the draft and feel better about the lower round picks than the upper round picks. You know, I understand, like you said, what they did. They got a productive running back. You know, whether they need more speed and all that, but they you can see why they loved him. They got the second edge rusher, a lot of production there, and I love that they stacked edge rusher on edge rusher. You know, we've seen that before. Vontae Davis and Sean
right.
Smith at cornerback, and you know, a little competition, a little. You know, this is a. It also says how desperate they are, which isn't a good sign for Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb coming back early, which is a little. The fact that they're really going after so many edge rushers.
Yeah. Why that was the other thing. That message that I got from that, except for the fact is they said to themselves, this will never happen again. What happened at the end of the year where you signed guys literally that's been
right.
sitting at home
off
all
the couch.
Year. Yeah, off the couch. But Dave, you know, so the interesting one, and they're selling things and they're there every day, and so they pretty much have told us that we think our frontline guys on both sides of the football were solid. And so I don't know how many people are buying that and going, all right, you're number ones. And, of course, that includes four or five guys that have been injured a lot coming back. But so that's how they felt by the way they drafted, that they could go a lot of different places, although it was obvious with the edge rusher, 1 and 5, first round and fifth round, that they need guys, especially – like, there's a chance we're going to need Chop and Muhammad to start the season. There's a chance that those guys, along with Shaq Barrett, are going to have to play a lot at the outside, especially during camp. I don't see either one of those guys going 100 miles an hour to start camp, do you?
When no, the camp, and that's summer the read-through opens. Of the draft. The read-through of the draft, to me, is they were so desperate to fill these holes, to get guys at that position that – you know, it was somewhat unfortunate for them. The edge rusher started going about 15 with the UCLA.
Right in
and
front of them.
The top three guys, I'm sure
quickly.
They wanted, bam, they're gone. And maybe they should have traded up to get one of them, but they don't have a third round, fourth pick to trade up for
yeah.
all the reasons we know. And then they need help on the offensive line. You know, they need to get more physical. And so they reach for the Houston tackle who has from every, you know, this is beyond me, but from every analysis, every coach talking, he's got technique problems. He needs to develop a year on the bench will do him well, evidently. So, but that isn't the philosophy of getting a first and a second round pick.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'm from the school.
I want to see it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, you need to see it, but you also you expect them to start, whether they're great starters or not. You expect them to start their first year.
So, so that was kind of taken. By the way, I picked up on it, and a lot of you, just great stuff on Friday. I could not get mad at anybody. Matter of fact, people were killing me for being too easy on the whole thing. And, you know, I mean, we got to find out how they play once they get here and coaching and how much. You know, I always laugh at this when they go, well, the coaching, well, I'm guessing the college coaching's pretty good. It can't be that bad. And I get that guys develop. Guys do, you know, as they get older and, you know, if they want to be great and see how they work. But once everybody's healthy, you know, Chop Robinson becomes a potential fourth pass rusher and Patrick Paul becomes a fourth tackle. I mean, that's
right,
just.
Right. And
once you're healthy. And then the other thing is, those two positions have not stayed healthy. They have not stayed healthy. 2 years ago, it was a right tackle. The whole time, it's been the left tackle missing 4 to 5 to 6 games, 7 games. When he plays, he's phenomenal. in Teron Armstead.
How much value have they put into the left tackle since this massive – since traded Tunsil?
Nobody in that building wants to debate me on what we've tried at left tackle. They've become a lot of other positions, yes. Not our best stuff.
They spent almost the Laramie Tunsil trade in trying to replace him when you think about
it. He ends up being one of the best left tackles in football, which I don't know if they – thought that, or they thought, you know, giving up so many picks to get him, but I mean to receive so many picks, it has not been. You know, we got two guys where no matter what they say, we're brought here to be left tackles. One out of USC and one out of Notre Dame, and one's a right tackle and one's a center, played center. Both started for us last year with all the injuries. Hey, we've got to go to break. Dave Hyde with us, Vlad Ian today. Woody's on a little family vacation, and we've got a lot of stuff to get to. By the way, we've got a lot of Canes news, too, that I want to get to. And Dave, I got to get your take on this. So we've got a lot of stuff to get to. We'll take a quick break. But before we do, Dave, this doesn't have anything to do with you. This has to do with me, so just step back. I don't want you. Atlantic Men's Clinic, thank you so much, man. ED and Low T have left Joe Rose, and I'm so happy. I've been telling everybody, man. And you know what? Amazing amount of guys have come up to me going, hey, Joe, did that really work? I go, yeah, and I had them both. I'm in my mid-60s. I ain't going to lie to you. One day, the fastball was just gone. There was no bat, and it was very frustrating. And I knew it, man. I knew it. I was always tired. It was there, man. It was there. I was sitting home on the couch. I'll work out tomorrow and fall asleep in the middle of the day wait a sec. This is ridiculous. Atlantic Men's Clinic. So I'm go down there and see him. I go, yeah, I don't really want to. I've done this before, and it was the best thing I did. Went down there, met with their professionals, scheduled a consultation with Atlantic Men's Clinic, and, man, it made a difference. Listen, your initial visit includes medical consultation with a Florida-licensed medical provider, a T and a PSA test, and if medically advised, a test dose. And if the test dose doesn't work in the office, your visit is free. You find out, they'll explain everything, what you're going through. By the way, it starts happening to men in their 40s, 50s, 60s. They got 6 locations. When I go to Plantation, I see guys a lot younger, and I'm going, wow. And you know what? There's nothing to be embarrassed about. You're going in there and taking care of something so you can enjoy your whole life a lot more. And I'm telling you, it works, man. It works. Call them today, 877-455-7300, or visit AtlanticMensClinic.com and get more information. Get that appointment set up and knock out ED and low T today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Hey. With the 21st pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Miami Dolphins select Chop Robinson, linebacker, Penn State.
I think it's some of the versatility we liked. You know, I mean, you see it when you watch him. He rushes kind of all over inside. He's over the center. He's 2-point, 3-point. And so that versatility is what, you know, drew us to him initially.
All scenarios are alive. You know, I think it's key to remember, man, that team, if they just had too many pass rushers. You know, that was their problem. That's never been said. So I think that's the common denominator is you know that you're adding to your team. You feel great about that. And there's you let the players kind of, you know, set the orchestration of all the multiple things you can do. But, yeah, I know our coordinator is not afraid outside the box, so you know he might be playing corner, who knows.
All right, that was Mike McDaniel, a little Chris Greer in there talking about Chop Robinson, the Miami Dolphins first round pick. Unlock that talent, and I get it. By the way, they are right about one thing. We never want to go through what happened at the end of last year where they all dropped. Everybody, even your fourth guy, who was like a seventh round pick, had been on special teams, he drops, and you were heading to Melvin Ingram and then looking for other guys that used to be really good like 3 years earlier.
You're signing guys who were counting their years toward Hall of Fame voting.
Right,
you know?
That's right.
And that's never a good thing. On the other hand, the defense, to me, wasn't the big problem. And the offense, scoring points was a problem. They scored 15.9 points against winning teams or against playoff teams. When they were 1-6, they need more points. And did they address that enough? That's going to be the question to me this offseason.
It's interesting. From people close to me said, hey, guys that text you and you get the same thing because I do it to you sometimes, is, hey, I think edge rusher is right up there. Like, I'm big on, you know, let's do this offensive line. They felt that way too with their second pick, Patrick Paul. That the edge rusher thing, they were not going to allow that to happen. They're going to have guys here that that they hope have big upside. By the way, this Muhammad Kamara, 13 sacks out of Colorado State, 6'1", 250, and another guy. So as a coach just said, you got a couple of edge rushers to back up three veteran guys that are going to obviously all play. I do agree. Mike also insinuated that don't be surprised for three guys to be playing a lot, as in Chop Robinson's they're gonna find ways to get him in there. I will say this, Dave, he's got to play, whether they're shorthanded or not and everybody's back. Chop Robinson as a first pick for the Miami Dolphins can't be sitting on the bench. He needs to be getting snaps. And I don't mean special teams.
We've seen too many high draft picks come in here. Last year, Cam Smith, for whatever reason, whether it was the defensive coordinator,
or just
didn't
counts
like
on
him,
who you believe in.
Yeah, whatever reason, he should be motivated. He should be on the field all the time now, right? I mean, second year. My problem with the drafts of recent years is everybody discounts year one, year two, year three in Austin Jackson. You know, and those are the years where. Okay, they're not going to be great, but they got to produce. They got to get on the field and play. And for as happy as everybody is, the Dolphins fans, about the lower round picks, Chris Greer's only hit on two lower round picks as far as impact. Devon Godshall is one, defensive tackle. He was very good. And Van Ginkle. That's it. So yeah. Can he hit on a couple this year?
Dave, so it's funny you bring up Austin Jackson. That's not the way a first-round pick is supposed to work out. I said this to Omar the last few weeks. I said, listen, man, because he's a big Austin Jackson guy, and Austin did play his best football. And by the way, it was durable. Stayed healthy, which is part of the game, too, at right tackle. But that's not supposed to wait till your fourth year to find out. I mean, we're down to the end there of trying to figure out if Austin Jackson can play or not after not working out at left guard, not working out at left tackle. Comes into this new system and after a year of being injured and starts playing well. But you're right. You get those guys on the cheap for a while, too. That's the other thing that, you know, you get a first-round pick. He's really good. You got a couple years on the cheap where you can, you know, spend money other places and go from there. So anyway, it'll be interesting to watch. Nobody has a problem that they took it two edge rushers. The question is, can he play? Can he do what an edge rusher's supposed to? And I love this one of like, well, you guys are reading too much into the sack. Wait a second. You just told me Christian Wilkins had 3.5 sacks. That wasn't enough, even though he had pressures. So which way is it?
Well, and evidently he led the Big Ten in pressures. Important stat as a passer. Very
yeah,
important
no, I
stat.
Agree. It is.
But the 15 tackles tells us. So yeah, you take away the 4 sacks, he got 11 tackles in 10 games, which underlines he's just a third down rusher, which – Yeah, you know.
By the way, I'm not – the importance of that is big because it's not – you get somebody in a second and long, a second and 15, probably going to play him in those situations, in long yardage passing situations that he'll play for you, and they'll do some different things. So, again, he's freakish, like all the testing and all the stuff, and I feel like I know him a lot better. I don't know how many people – saw that rookie show that they did last night on ESPN. I believe it was ESPN, not NFL Network. Now I'm not sure. But it was really good. And he was one of the four guys they focused on that was doing his workouts and getting ready for the combine and calling us. You know what's kind of weird? Like just today in social media and the difference. He ran a 4.48 40 and place is going nuts. You know, a guy 250 to run like that. I mean, hell, you want all your skill guys to run that fast.
His numbers are off the charts. His numbers are off the charts, yeah.
So you know what he did afterwards? He went over and picked his phone up, and he's FaceTiming his dad. And it's just you finish and getting ready for the rest of it, he goes over and grabs his phone, and they all have their phones with them. And I'm like, wow. Because I see with my own kids, except not as professional athletes. And I went, wow, that's where we are, 2024. They pick up, and his dad's going nuts. And, hey, I'm proud of you. Go finish strong now. And you hear the whole conversation. But, Dave, the social media stuff now, these guys. So I used to hear guys look at their phones at halftime. And I thought, that's really weird, man. I can hear, you know, somebody picking up a phone once the phones were around for Shula going, hey! Put that thing down.
I love Tyreek Hill getting a text from his wife at halftime saying, "Get your guys better get back on the field."
Yeah, but that's where they are, guys. Yeah. Like, all right, go. Hey, you got a few minutes. Get ready for a second half. The first thing they do is see what their friends say, or hey, that was an awesome play, or hey, you got to pick it up. Hey, they need you. Like you said, it's a different time, Dave. It is a different time. Sitting here is a couple of old. Grumpy guys that we have become.
I'm feeling grumpier after this draft. I went into it thinking, oh, this will be good. They're going to pick up a couple guys you can write about. They'll be probably interesting, and they're you know they'll start. And then I come out of it thinking, I don't know if I thought it was a horror show, but it really wasn't what
I
expected.
So I'll get you the other one. It was a little bit of a surprise. They got two wide receivers in this thing, probably both inside guys because they're smaller guys.
And it tells you their draft told me they understood they think they need to win right now because they just went and they addressed their big holes, edge rusher, offensive line, not a guy that can slide inside, I don't think.
But they're going to say added depth.
We'll say added something to the offensive line. And then two receivers. Everybody, the other thing was they needed a third receiver. They really do, from not just from, you know, packages, but – They can't keep throwing to Tyreek Hill 170 and 171 times. Those are the target numbers to him, and people wonder why he get hurt in December. Well, you can't throw that much. That's the second and third highest totals in the league in
of
those
targets,
2 years.
Yeah.
So I get the positions they went after. I guess the question is, you look at what Philadelphia did. They took what everybody says is a great cornerback right after the Dolphins did. And you'd think, okay, could they have helped their pass rush more with another great corner? I know they've got a lot of cornerbacks now.
I was against taking another corner.
I get why they didn't. But if you're Philadelphia, you're thinking, hey, it worked out great for us.
Yeah. No. I understand that. But they went out and got Kendall Fuller and Cam Smith. Cam Smith, I've said this all offseason, is in a great situation to come back. He's almost feels like a second-round pick again this year because his guy's gone that didn't like him. Didn't like anything about him, by the way. Did not like anything about him privately.
He could have done him the biggest favor of his career, though. He could have done Cam Smith the biggest
motivated favor. Motivated him, like,
called him out, saying, if you talk to people in the Dolphins, and some say he should have played, and some said, no, he could have played, but he wasn't being a pro all the time. So maybe this was the best career favor that could have been done for him moving forward.
Well, I'm guessing. Well, I know what I would do if I was Mike and Chris. Call him in and go, hey, Cam, we heard all that stuff. We believe in you, but you saw the guys running the show. Not a fan of yours, man. I hope you're super motivated because there's a job out there for you to get some playing time, some serious playing time. I don't think he's going to start over Kendall Fuller. I think Kendall Fuller comes in and is going to be the starter along with Jalen Ramsey. But as we know, we're going to have guys injured, man. I mean, it's just reality of this game in December. When did our guys start dropping? The Jets game was Jalen Phillips. I don't know where that was, but that was second half of the season. I mean, reality is guys start getting hurt later in the season. And you hope they don't drop like they did this past year for us, where, my God, the pass rusher, bam, bam, and bam, all went down on your top three guys. But there's going to be injury. So you've got to get guys ready to go. So I'm curious to see the two wide receivers and see how they work out. And then the other one for me is, where does Jalen Wright, who's a running back, who, again, big numbers at Tennessee, track speed. And, you know, you start flirting in that 4.3 speed, you get invited to that track club they have out there with the Dolphins.
Will he make the top the 4x100 relay? It'll be interesting.
I don't think so.
A lot of guys on that.
Yeah. I don't know if he does. He might just be just –
What's your read-through on the pick of Jalen Wright? Other than Mike McDaniel, he wanted that pick. My read-through is Raheem Mostert had a great year last year, but they don't trust him over 30, the age 30 now,
yes.
And they don't trust his injury history. And so
Achan is going to be
similar.
Right? I don't think they want either one of those guys to get too many carries because they miss time. And the third guy, I think, is going to be that guy, Jalen Wright. So we don't give you a break. We got three guys that can flat out run. I mean, there's nobody faster than those three running backs. That three running back, they could put you and I as a fourth leg on that relay. We got a chance to win. Almost.
I get why, and yet I at some point I thought they'd dress it. Maybe they have it on the roster, the rookie who's hurt last year, the short yardage. Short yardage, because short yardage was a issue last year.
Short yardage was
fourth
a big.
And one, third and one, third and two.
We got cute, and we were doing a lot of flirty stuff outside with those quick passes instead of being able to run inside. And so anyway, we're going to be able to have a lot of time to try to figure out, and we'll find out together what this thing looks like. I'm still on the all-in right now, year two. That's my
take. There's the backdrop to it all, that the way they structured the tank for 2 years.
Don't tell me about years, 2 and 3 years down the road. I'm on Omar telling Omar 2 all the time. Like,
absolutely.
Don't want to hear about it.
Last year and this year are there big windows to win. The way they structured the whole tank and rebuild and trading draft picks and all that stuff, they got to be all in this year.
Hey, how is the reaction of when now Dolphins pick up projects when it's about right now? And
you know what? We have the most optimistic fan base, I think, in the league. In fact, I saw an email. Somebody did a study of the draft, and the Dolphins were like the third happiest fan base out there.
Yeah.
And I was like, really?
Like Mike McDaniel as a head coach.
Oh, yeah. I love I love the way he comes to work each day and the way he addresses things and And, you know, the I don't know if the culture is the right word, but just,
oh, I think what he's put
the
in there.
The optimism.
I think what he's brought in there, this team desperately needed because it just, we've had some bad divorces there and it really needed stability. And Mike, I don't even know if he realizes what he's brought to this thing because I think it's been really, really special. I think it's been good for Chris. I think it's been good for the players and bringing everybody back together, you know. And Vic's gone, and I think we don't miss a beat. Nobody's upset because Mike's strong enough, and you know.
We'll see. I like them both. I like the combination. Now it didn't work.
I think Vic had to go.
Yeah, no, I agree. It didn't work, but I thought I thought
that's
the odd
pick.
Couple would work. You know, the old curmudgeon and the young, you know, hip guy.
Yeah,
and it didn't work. But
I thought Anthony Weaver, the new defense coordinator, said, you know, everybody wanted to know after Vic, like, how you going to treat him? He said, I'm going to coach him up hard, and I'm going to put my arm around and hug him. And I was like, okay, that is – I'm guessing when they were looking for a defensive coordinator, Mike wanted to make sure that that defensive coordinator was drinking the same Kool-Aid as the rest of the team. I really do.
I get that. On the other hand, the results were pretty good on defense last year.
They were.
So
No. I'm not one to bash the guy for his coaching. It's just – I don't think he's looking at this after when they had team meetings and he's seen his defensive guys and Mike saying a bunch of positive things and he's going,
absolutely,
that friggin' guy, really? They ain't getting that when he's in my friggin' meetings.
They were the odd couple. They were the complete odd couple, and Fangio knew.
But if it makes you feel any better, he was the same in the hotel to us as he was with those guys. All right, hey, listen, we got a lot more stuff to get to, but first – we got to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers this morning. I hope you've had some time to get out there and look at that SUV family because, man, I'm telling you, the Chevy SUV family is special right now, starting with the big boys, Suburbans and Tahoes. My name is Joe Tahoe, by the way. I change it from Rose to Joe Tahoe. I like it better. So you see me, I do respond now to Joe Tahoe after almost 20 years of riding around in one. Hey, the Traverse also, midsize SUV, so comfortable. You know what we did, man? They added more space and just made them a lot more comfortable for us big folks out there to really enjoy, whether it's a vacation coming up, getting ready to go to the mountains or down to the Keys. We want you and that family to be comfortable. And even our smaller SUVs like a Trailblazer, a Blazer, an Equinox got a lot of style and substance. Silverado trucks, always time to talk about, probably should be my leadoff hitter when you talk about all the Silverado trucks they make that are absolutely perfect for your lifestyle, whether it's a full-time working truck, you and that truck, still needs to be a family truck and get everybody around, and then there's that Silverado 1500. Oh, that thing is sweet. Hey, listen, whether it's car, truck, or even an SUV, you got to stop by and see the new Chevy family because it, first of all, convenient locations all over South Florida, Dade, Broward, and Monroe County. Find new roads, new and used. It's never looked better than right now at your South Florida Chevy dealer.
Yes, we feel confident that he can swing. Obviously, he's been a left tackle. He's someone that we spent a lot of time with. We met with him at the Senior Bowl for a while, the Combine. We had him here on a 30 visit. So he was very enthusiastic about his intentions of wanting to play here. He really enjoyed his interactions with the coaching staff and us and watching him on film and some of the things we liked about how he plays. And he knows he's got some things to work on. He's very honest and direct, and that's what we really appreciated. And we're very excited to work with him because I think he's a very talented player.
That was Chris Greer talking about his second-round pick, Patrick Paul, out of Houston, 6'7", 315. A long, long dude. I heard he makes mistakes, but those long arms just make up for it.
He's
he just
huge.
Puts it out there, and it's like a cartoon. Just grabs the guy and stops him. So anyway, hey, we've got lots. Dave Hyden this morning. Vladdy also in. Woody's with the family up on a little vacation right now, and here we are. We got a busy day with a lot of stuff going on. Panthers trying to close out Tampa Bay tonight. That place is going to be nuts.
They're ready.
That place is going to be such a great – by the way, the two best rivalries we have, and I argue, and I know people are going to say Buffalo Bills in there, the two best as far as teams being good and going at, Tampa Bay and the Panthers and Boston and Miami. Because they play each other in these playoffs
every
year.
Do you think Tampa Bay and the Panthers,
I think it's great,
are a rivalry?
Yeah.
I've debated this with people since this matchup came. And
I got their reaction
the rivalry's
from somebody
back,
else.
And I'm like, is it really a rivalry? I mean,
they play each other now a lot in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The games. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I think we got a little something going there. I know Tampa Bay's won some Stanley Cups and
I tell you what,
they
have this new stat. In fact, Paul Maurice was talking about it after the last game, how they count hits and
everybody got
stuff.
A hit.
And he goes, even he said, because there's a lot of hits. I mean, huge hit number of hits. But he goes, you know what? It's not the crazy violent hits that you're seeing. Like in the Boston series last year, and coming up is Boston and the Panthers. Right now, both are up 3-1. And if they close out the series by the weekend, they'll be playing. That will be a violent series. This, a lot of hits, but not a lot of violence on the ice yet. Now, maybe it started to get there with Tampa Bay last game.
Well, and the other one, and this is because of history, it's hard to beat a Celtics.
Now, that's a rivalry.
Miami Heat.
That's a rivalry. Because they've taken stuff from each other. The Heat have taken them twice down when they thought they could win the title. And then
last year was, you know, Brown and Tatum got killed last year for, like, how's that happen? Of course, they got a little nicked up, but nobody wants to hear about that.
Well, you thought after game six, where, remember, the Heat lose at that
last second
tip-in, and the series going back to Boston, that to me is still the number one win of any team that I've been covering down here. They go up to Boston with that team, and ESPN had said Boston had a 97 percentile win going into the series and 99 going into game seven, and their computers, however they figured that, and for the Heat to come out, not just win, but they ripped them apart.
Yeah, they did.
They took their soul.
Up there. And by the way, the best game I've ever seen is LeBron's game six.
That was big.
Up there.
45 and 15.
They had a chance to close it out up there, and they didn't. Of course, game seven,
that would have been the end of the big three, too, probably. Because they didn't go to the finals the first year. They lose in the Eastern Conference Finals the second year. Maybe not the end, but can you imagine the ridicule of that? So, yeah, to me, the Boston Heat series, because of the consequences on both sides, is the biggest
rivalry. So I want to ask you right now, with over the last few years is what we're talking about rivalry. I'm not talking all time. What's the Miami Dolphins' number one rivalry right now?
Well,
here's the problem: Buffalo and Josh Allen have owned us.
Right. I mean,
he's lost one game since his rookie year. Lost one of two games. Hasn't lost since.
And his numbers are off the charts. I mean, his numbers against the Dolphins. It's like, I remember talking to Dan Marino once, and he said when he wasn't drafted till 27th, his dad said to him, "You have a chance at all these teams." And I get that feeling with Josh Allen when the Dolphins allowed Buffalo to jump him, and they said we didn't want him. You have a chance at them twice a year.
And they brought him down here because I got to do an interview with him. He was down here. He was one of the quarterbacks that we brought down at the time.
But I don't know. To me, they're the number one rival from the standpoint. That's the hurdle they got to get over. I'm not saying the Dolphins are the Bills' number one rival. That's the Chiefs, because that's the hurdle they got to get over. But, you know, the Dolphins have to figure. This is their year. Bills are taking a step back. I mean,
it looks like it
anyways.
They pretty much tried to just sign their own guys is kind of where they are. And you know the other thing, Josh Allen, what did he turn the ball over four times? The play before the half, throws it inside. Jerome Baker makes a great play to stop the guy short of and the time runs out, and do some interceptions. They turn the ball over, and they still won. And by the way, on a kickoff return of all things, right? Didn't come down the offense or defense. Came down to special teams. But yeah,
well, they're in a tricky situation. It's the situation the Dolphins are going to be in if they give two of this big extension.
The Bills are the first ones to come out and say, hey, when you pay your franchise quarterback, life changes as far as who you sign.
Now, Josh Allen's good enough to carry a team, and that's what you need if you're going to spend that much money. And the question becomes, is Tua good enough to carry a team?
I look at their receivers up there, and I don't know how good the rookie's going to be, and it's going to take some time. But, yeah, his top two guys that have been Dolphin killers are gone. up there in Buffalo. So we'll see. But two guys that have – look at the one guy, Stephon Diggs, played really well against the Miami Dolphins last year. He might not have played well against anybody else, but he played well in the playoff game and that first game up there.
They really, really didn't want him back. They paid $31 million for him not to play. That's a statement of how bad they thought he was on their team.
Yeah, man, that must have – you talk about a divorce, that one. Whew. That thing rivals some out there.
But that's the thing, when you look at the Dolphin draft, you would say, okay, do we take a step closer to beating the Bills? And I come away the first day, the first couple picks, which are your impact picks,
yeah,
saying, all right, they got an edge rusher on third down and a backup tackle for when Teron Armstead's gone, and I don't feel they got that significant better. You know,
they look like, once this thing is all settled, this draft was about mostly backups. There's not going to be a rush on a lot of these guys. Now, I'm curious to see if one of these two wide receivers comes in and just looks so good, they're going, wow, we got to play him.
And that happens all the time in the NFL. Third round,
wide receivers, the one position that has success early, a rookie, is wide receivers.
The Rams got the fifth round guy last year, what, Puka?
Oh, my God,
I mean, good. So,
jeez,
it happens in the NFL, absolutely.
No question about it. So, hey, busy night. We'll get into that here in South Florida. Panthers and Heat and Marlins all at home and going strong here. We'll find out what happened. By the way, the Marlins, I shouldn't have said that, 6-23. Washington for a fourth game today. They've lost six straight, have the worst record. Thank God for the marketing department and the things they're doing in marketing. Shirts and T-shirts and tank shirts. And
they're not even making fundamental plays. And their games are up 6-0 yesterday. I turned it on. First inning, up 6-0. Turn it back. They're down 7-5. And I thought, I've seen this game before. It's like they've lost.
Yeah, they were up 7-0, by the way, yesterday, too.
7-0, okay.
Chisholm hit a grand slam. You're going, wow, and, you know, all right. That usually, you know, somebody hits that grand salami, you're thinking, that, all right, we're in good shape, and they can't hold leads. Just
you see why
they've lost every way possible this year. There's no other way. They've done it early in the season. They've lost every way possible.
Their head of baseball operations said yesterday, hey, it's only April, and I'm thinking, boy, that's
calm
not
down on those comments.
My thought was it's going to be a really long season if it's only April.
Yeah. Hey, we got to go to break here. Dave Hyde in this morning with us from the Sun Sentinel. A lot of stuff to get to. 305-567-0560 on the text machine. We'll be right back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.